Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio. We're still in Philippians 2, and what a great chapter this is about joy and God's love. And last time we talked about how our pride and our selfish ambition or self-motivation and our vainglory takes away the glory of God.
Mm. Yeah, we don't want that.
We don't want that.
No way.
And Paul's encouraging the people of Philippi. They got to get it right. He doesn't want them to have it either. And so what we're going to do is we ended saying that we're going to look at the things that will prevent disunity or disharmony. And so if we could have, Tanya, why don't you do the reading this time, chapter 2, mm-hmm. 1 through 4, and sure. then we'll get into it.
Okay. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but as for the interests of others.
Yeah, so good. So good. So the question I want us to dwell on now, what are the things that prevent disharmony? Or disunity. What are some things?
Prevent it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, double negative.
No.
I know.
Selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
And service.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
What'd you say?
Selflessness and service?
Service.
Basically any emulation of Christ's character.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everything that causes disunity is sin, and everything that, like, helps with maintaining the unity is showing Christ's character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So love, grace,
I was just
going
to say love. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep. Prayer.
Regarding others as greater than, better than yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Mm. Mm. That's a big
patience, kindness,
gentleness, self-control.
So good. So these are all things that we have in Scripture. You guys are listing off very well the fruit of the Spirit. Things that we have because of the Spirit of God in us. If we take the four that he listed that we looked at last time, we would say it's the relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. making sure that our relationship is right with the Lord, and so establishing that relationship. So for myself, that means that there's not a day I'm not going to get up and spend time in the Word and prayer. I have to, because I've learned that if I don't grow my relationship, I can't be in fellowship with those around me. The other one would be is that it's the power of Christ's love, because it's the comfort of his love that we have. And so recognizing there's power in the love
right.
of Jesus. And that is incredible. Like the song that says, break every chain, break every chain.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. see love in action and it stops stupidity,
yeah.
hatred, anger, strife. True love in action is powerful, and so holding on to the power of Christ's love. Barclay says, it is not a mere reaction of the heart, as human love is the victory of the will that is achieved through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's the victory of the will that when we allow love to be the one that takes over.
Yeah.
He says, love is an unconquerable good, and it will even to those who hate us, to those we do not like, and to those that are unlovely.
Mm-hmm.
That it is unconquerable. I can't even say the word. Unconquerable. And then another commentator, Richard Tatlock, I liked his quote. He said, hell is the eternal condition of those who have made relationship with God and their fellows and an impossibility through lives which have destroyed love.
Mm-hmm.
So on this earth, we can live in the eternal condition of broken relationships because of destroyed love.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, heaven, on the other hand, is the eternal condition of those who have found real life and relationships with the love of God and others.
Mm.
That we literally welcome heaven when we allow the love of Christ to be evident.
Yes.
And then, obviously, the third one is the sharing of the Holy Spirit. We shared last time that the fellowship of, or two times ago, it is the fellowship of the Spirit. It's literally saying, I'm willing to participate with you. So as the Spirit is moving, to participate with the Spirit of God in people's lives. And so the heart and willingness to participate. We finished with the fourth one saying it was the human compassion. What Barclay adds that wasn't in the other commentator is that he says, but there's a personal part on Paul. Paul says, you do this, it makes my joy complete.
Right.
And Jesus. So not to lose sight of the encouragement of me looking to my sisters in Christ and saying, you know what? I'm encouraged when you walk in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And I had a student share this, that her RA, this was last year, and her RA was so tight with Jesus. My RA that did this was Megan Ward. And she daily would send scripture verses to her hall, daily prayed for them by name. And her walk with Jesus was so pure. Mm-hmm. That one of the women that came in that was an unbeliever and made poor choices and got in trouble her freshman year and then went into her second year. And she said she got onto this RA's hall and so watched her walk that she said, I didn't want to disappoint her. And that is what caused me to rethink what I was thinking about Jesus. And she came to know Christ and through the year started maturing, ended up being baptized, and is now a person who is out witnessing about Christ.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it was, and so Barclay was saying, we cannot forget that Paul is saying, do this because it makes my joy complete. I may be in shackles and I may be in prison. I may be in house arrest. I may die tonight, but if I hear that you are walking in love, the mutual fellowship and the spirit and giving of yourself in compassion, he goes, I'll go with great joy.
Absolutely.
So not to forget what we do for one another. And I don't know, for almost a guilt factor, I don't know. My kids, I would drop them off at school when they were younger and we'd pray in the car on the way. And I, oftentimes when they get out there, I'm like, don't forget you're a Rye. My last name's Rye. I'm just not a Rye behaving. I'm like a Rye. You are a Rye. Because they know that to mommy and daddy, to Greg and me, our Christian walk and being servants of God is extremely important. And it was kind of like my way of reminding them, I want to see that you guys are honoring God as you go. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. I know. I just looked at Janelle and she's getting married and I'm thinking, as I was praying over there, I'm going to start crying. Their marriage and what God's doing and, you know, and everything. It's like that husband and wife unity of coming together and the call of common ministry and that he's calling them out to do kingdom things as a husband and wife.
Right.
It's just incredible.
Right.
And so when I just, I'm getting a lot of those waves right now. It's like nuts. So let's look at verse 2 so I can pull myself together. Sandy, why don't you read verse 2?
I have my Bible in front of me.
That's right. Philippians. Okay. Philippians.
I've got it.
2:2.
Verse 2:2.
Okay. This is verse 2.
It's the summation
of what
I just said.
Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Okay. I wrote in my journal when I was doing this, I'm like, got joy?
Got joy.
And he tells them how to get it. You know, kind of like, mustache. Got milk? Yes, a joy mustache. What does a joy mustache look like? Right here, he tells us what it looks like. What does it look like?
One.
It's being one.
One. Yes. It's the key word.
United.
Yeah.
In mind, spirit, and purpose.
Love, spirit, purpose is so beautiful. Okay, our having our minds that, and I think it was David Guzik. He said, notice that twice there's the mind referenced in this, and then you have like the spirit and the love, and then the action plan. And so, being like-minded of the mind is literally having our being perfect in sentiment. Literally, Christ alone, or. Because I teach team building right now, one of the things I'm trying to help them understand is with a team is that means we have to have our goal so clear that we are all focused on the same thing, you know, not scattered with this person doing their agenda, this person doing their agenda, this person doing their agenda. We need to know what our goal is. And like tonight in my class, we'll be talking about how to do like a team meeting so that you can make sure that we stay on the same page for the same purpose. It always comes back to is having that goal, the vision, and being in there. And again, it's the love. He repeats it again because the love is critical. And again, he repeats the spirit, but this time with the purpose and helping us to understand our compassion of the tender mercies. When he says this, that's actually showing the union of the heart, the feelings, the plan, the purpose, the vision. It's all of that overflowing as we pour out the tender mercies of compassion and love.
David Jeremiah says to be like-minded means that you have to have harmony, humility, and helpfulness. And I like that.
Love that.
Yeah.
You know, when I was at the mission, one of the things that I love to do was with the women in this New Life Recovery Program is every Friday, the last class of their week, they've been in classes all week, 8 to 5, it's 4 o'clock on a Friday, and we would do kind of an end of the week analysis. I would ask God whatever I would do, sometimes a devotion, and then we'd pray at the end. But it was like this, because I come from as a coach, right? My background is a lot of playing soccer, and I coach a lot of teams, and so I bring that passion because I want that togetherness here with them. And so living together in these types of quarters and under this type of just pressures, you know, you're working through trying to overcome your addiction that may be 50 years old or however long. Just how this, God is so neat in how he does this with this group of people, how there's so many opportunities to grow in Christ-like character in so many different ways, you know, you can just think of it all. But that our, like, at last hour, we'd all be holding hands, and these women would pray sincerely for each other, and they'd start to have compassion and care for one another, and they'd be checking, you know, because sometimes you start to walk in some righteousness, and it's actually self-righteousness. So now you have a critical spirit on the people that aren't, and this is what I'm seeing from the woman. And so God would just so sweetly teach so much in that time, and I swear the times that I was able to teach that class, that group of women, they were so much more united because they had the one purpose, and we always put love as, like, beyond anything else, love and forgiveness, because that's what Christ has given each of us, so that you can then pour that on other people.
So good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. And it's so powerful. And they loved you.
I love them.
They would tell me often. They would tell me often. I have here, I'm going to read it from the Amplified because it's so beautiful. The Romans 12, 1 and 2, I felt like was the best example of this. And this verse is just so beautiful, but hear it from the Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you.
I don't know about you, but that, the pleasing God, boy, that's what I want to do. And I know there's days I don't, but thank goodness he's a God with unconditional love.
Do you see how it goes back and it says it's a new attitude? Remember we began talking about this, that it's an attitude, that the attitude of how we respond to God and how we respond to one another determines our joy. And one of the things that's, I think, most important and prevalent when I'm doing the ministry with the women at Grace is, you know, it's always going back to the attitude of the heart. I can't move forward if a person's attitude's not there. And it doesn't happen often, but when that attitude shows up that's not willing to please God and does not have a heart toward God, All I can do is beg that somehow when they are in my presence that they are confronted with the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what that might look like as I'm talking, but I will ask them over and over, do you know you're loved? Can you tell you are loved? And it's crazy. Even the people that are angry and bitter and hurting and refusing God or the truth of God will look at me and say, yeah, I can tell. Mm. And it's crazy that that happens when you can see the rage that sometimes can happen. But just praying that at some point that that connecting will happen so that they can take it to the next level of meeting him or,
right.
you know, shedding what needs to be shed or whatever. Yeah. And so being willing to allow that love to happen because that it just makes it happen when it happens. It changes the attitude. So let's do verse 3. says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And the New Bible Commentary calls selfish ambition, also known that if you go into the original language, it could actually be considered a party spirit. That took me by surprise. I didn't see it anywhere else. That's the only commentator that said it. So I didn't get to go further with it, but a party spirit as in, think of, you know, the party spirit of somebody at a party, it is all about them and pleasure.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that selfish ambition would be about selfish pleasure.
It's all about you.
Yeah. And so we've kind of looked at that, but the question is what are the ways that the spirit of contention can grow? And it looks like we only have about a minute left. And then so I'm just going to let people think on that. And what desire should we pray to grow in? That's how we need to end it. And so what do you think, and I think you guys all know the word, Janelle already gave a great quote, she can give the great quote again, but what do we need to have so that we can have that desire to grow in the unity?
Selflessness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is known as humility.
Humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's your favorite C.S. Lewis quote?
The quote is, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Love it.
Barnes says humility consists of estimating ourselves according to truth. And if you think about it, truth is what enables us to have joy. That is where that comes out of. And next time when we come in and we record, we're actually going to go into Christ's humility and his exaltation and what that might look like. So you're definitely going to want to come back next month to get that. They refer to that chapter of the book as the famous kenosis or the self-emptying passage. God bless.